All right, you're on the Arms Room Show with Glenn.
Andrew.
And we're trying to solve a mystery in here. Somebody came into our studio and fucked with a bunch of stuff. Weird shit. No one else really comes in the office. You know, we have some students here every now and then for classes. And but no one comes in here.
Maybe it was the appendix fairy.
It's in the back. It's in the back room of the back room. I don't think anyone. Weird. I tell you what, man. The more I live this life, the more I understand why governing authorities want cameras all over the place. I want cameras all over the place. Got to catch kids in lies. You got to confirm that the dog did eat the fucking hot dogs off the counter. You got to do all kinds of crazy shit in this world. Like, I don't know how my parents ever figure out that we were up to anything. Good intuition, I guess. Or they just guilted us because we had respect for them. They guilted us until we admitted to it. And that was assuming that we did anything shitty to, you know, go against them anyway, which is like a whole other show. It's been a long fucking weekend, I can tell you that. Had a good weekend, though. Tac Hub open house.
Yeah, it was great.
It was great for everybody who had the opportunity to come there and get free training.
Yeah.
Great for everyone who had the opportunity to come there and run through the house and have some fun. You know, it was good for us too, but it's a lot of work. So we're excited, man. We've got tons of stuff going on at Tac Hub. New 3,800 square foot indoor training facility. Lots of cool things we can do in there. Structural movement, medical. We've got some vehicle stuff we'll be able to do there. Night vision work. Tons of tactics type stuff, just tons of fun, tons of fun, tons of great learning. And it's so much fun to watch people go like, well, my whatever brother is a SEAL. And he said, like, okay, try it. And then they die over and over and over and over again. I'm like, if your brother actually was a SEAL and he actually did use that tactic, he obviously didn't teach it to you properly, if he taught it to you at all, because I'm telling you, it doesn't work. How do I know it doesn't work? You just died five glorious times in five different glorious ways. You know, so anyways, it's fun to watch the lab, the pressure cooker, right?
Mm-hmm.
See if people really can. That's why I like to think. I like to think of it more like a lab, you know, like a laboratory, like a place you go to experiment, you know?
Yeah.
Which is what it is.
Yeah, exactly.
Thanks to all of our patrons for being part of the show. Thank you for your show ideas when you send them over. Today's show idea, like so many others, came from our listeners. And we want to remind you guys, don't forget to look at the extra or listen to the extra shows if you're a $10 above patron. If you're a new patron and you haven't received any kind of swag, like new stickers or anything like that from us, please drop us an email, info@trainingaz.com, and we'll make sure that we get you your stickers sent over. It was brought to my attention that last week's show was 2.5 hours. I had no idea. Matt from Warhog Holsters was in the studio with us. We were talking. We were having a good time. We were laughing about stuff and joking about things and trying to educate people.
He was here for like 5 hours.
We were also drinking a little bit. So I might have totally lost track of time. And I thought it was a good show. And then later some people were like, hey, man, we really love the show with Matt. Did you know it was 2.5 hours? I'm like, what? What? Yeah, plus he was like here for like an hour beforehand and probably, you know, 45 to an hour after. Yeah, you're running out this fucking day. But we had a good time with him. And Matt's a good guy, man, and a lot of fun there. So there you go.
Was it really? I don't know if it was 2.5 hours. I think
it's like
more
2 hours and 26 minutes or something like that. I don't know. It was pretty much 2.5 hours.
Oh, yeah, 2 hours, 26 minutes. You're right.
Yeah. Hold on a second. Can you edit that and then replay it?
That you were right?
When you say you were right?
I tell you you're right all the time.
I just want to. You were right. I mean, I was more right, but you were also right a little.
No.
If right was 100%, you get 25.
That's not how our relationship works. I tell you when you're right. Don't try to make me somebody I'm not.
I'm not. I'm just trying to give you a hard time. Which is really funny because right now you're trying to tell me that you're right. I digress. Any big news? I don't know. I have been so out of touch. We've been so busy with training.
Surgeries
and emergency hospital visits and for dogs and children.
On the same day.
On the same day. Had a glorious day off last week, like a glorious day that I took off so I could hang out with my oldest son all day. And on that day, dogs and a child had to go to the emergency room. So.
Yeah, one required emergency surgery because appendicitis.
One just had a giant facial swelling and a nut sack for a neck because all this infection had drained into his neck. So he had a giant elephant ball sack in his throat. And half of his face was perfectly normal, and the other half looked like he got boxed by Sugar Ray Leonard. So take him in, and then we take a kid in. Ended up all day in the hospital, all night really.
No, we left about 8:30.
Well, that's pretty late.
Yeah.
But anyways, all good stuff.
Yeah.
It was a good day off.
The appendix fairy came and paid a visit.
The appendix fairy came and took the appendix away. Which honestly, I have to say, like, the more you know about medicine, this is a quick little reminder, right? As Drew, who has become very well versed in, you know, medicine stuff, of course, as we've been together and she's done her own work and research and learning and all that. As we were kind of diagnosing a stomach pain that began on one day, included vomiting, no distension of the belly, no fever, but then in, you know, reading up on some other similar symptoms and being able to kind of diagnose some stuff ourselves. And the more we know about medicine, the more that it's easier to piece the puzzle together and understand the terms that people are using. And when you're reading like research papers from the American College of Surgeons, it's, you know, the more you understand about medicine, the more you can piece that shit together. And so it was really nice to be able to do that. It was also really nice to be able to handle that with calmness because, you know, we knew going in there, okay, it's very possibly going to be appendicitis, and that means, you know, it's going to be an emergency surgery and this is going to be taken out. And then when we go in there and then, of course, they find out, okay, it is appendicitis, we were just like, all right,
yep.
Well, here's the procedure. It's relatively simple. We know how it works, and this is going to go just fine because, like, short of insane unavoidable complications, which are very uncommon. Mm-hmm. This is just going to be an in-and-out procedure, and it's going to be easy day. And then it was in-and-out procedure. It was easy day, and then we knew about the recovery. We knew what was going to happen. I think like we have so many students that have this similar setting, right? Where we didn't have to use any tourniquets, mm-mm. We didn't have to use any chest seals, we didn't have to do anything like that. And so many of our students who will go through programs with independence training will be like, oh yeah, you know, my kid fell off the playground, or, you know, I came upon a vehicle accident, or, you know, my buddy got hit in the head at work. And while everyone else was kind of panicking and didn't really know what to do, I marched it real quick. I went through the, you know, patient and scene assessment, and I realized, you know, this isn't really that big of a deal. We can handle this easily. Hey, let's transport them, or hey, let's treat them right here, or whatever. And I'm like, hey, it might have still been inconvenient. It might have still ended up in going to the emergency room. It might have still ended up in having to have some kind of care performed. But because they know how bad it can be and it's not that, the level of confidence and competence and calmness and focus that they have is better.
Yeah.
I mean, the majority of students who are using our medical information from our medical programs are not slamming tourniquets on people.
Mm-mm.
But they are being an asset, and they're being calm, and they're talking to doctors and nurses. I mean, how many different doctors and nurses did you have to talk to that day? You spent the majority of the time with her. Yeah. So, you know, it's like – so many, right? And every time they're talking to you, like, you're like, yeah, I understand. Like, I understand what you're talking about. I understand what the problem is. I understand what the possible complications can be. Like, I understand what drugs these are. I understand the effect that they're going to have on her. Like, I get it, man.
And because, you know, we were so calm.
She was chill.
She was calm. And we got to explain to her before she even talked to a surgeon exactly what was going to happen.
Hey, kid, this is what's going to happen. This is how you're going to feel. This is the amount of time it's going to take to recover. And our calmness and lack of worry, which she could tell by your voice, by your eyes, by your attitude, she knows we're totally chill. And so that makes her totally chill.
Yep.
And for a little kid, that's a kind of terrifying experience. But she wasn't terrified. She was able to just go in, have it done, come out, and be good to go, back to normal in a couple of days. Minus one appendix.
Yeah.
A little bit lighter weight.
Yeah.
Anyways, that's just kind of, you know, our experience is the more you know, the easier it is to understand what's happening and the easier it is to be calm. That's all.
Yeah.
It's like self-defense, right? If we know we can go to the full capacity, if we know we can draw guns and go to war – and then we just have to confront someone mildly hostile, who wants to give us a little bit of shit, and we're able to move in verbals and, hey, man, you know, de-escalate the situation with mucking, and then that's over. We're like, wow, that was really easy. I know we can go all the way, but I don't want to go all the way. I just wanted to handle this problem. And whereas you have a lot of people out there, it's like all they do is carry guns. That's the only skill sets they have. And so that problem arises and they're like, oh, shit, I either can't do anything, I don't know what to do, or I draw the gun. And that's sometimes how you have people in medicine. It's like, okay, I know I was in the Army and I went through a CLS class, bro. I know how to put a fucking tourniquet on, bro. And then they're like, okay, but I don't know what to do for anything else.
Yeah.
So my kid is sick. I don't know what to do. My buddy hit his head. I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah, you gotta fill that gap. And the more you know, the more you want to know.
Yep.
I find.
Yeah.
You know.
And the more you're calmer in situations when things happen, because you know. Mm-hmm. You know what the outcome's going to be. You know that what's going to be the next step in order to get someone either fixed or to a higher level of care.
It is important. Other news? I can't think of anything else that happened.
I don't pay attention to the news.
I haven't really watched the news. I know there's some shit going on with election stuff here in Arizona. There's a lot of COVID shit still happening. I don't know. I don't care. We're just jumping
into it. Our school just sent an email announcing that they are not requiring vaccines and or masks to do in-person schooling. So that's pretty cool.
That's pretty neato. That's for sure. So Redwire Gear Moment brought to you by RedwireGear.com. Have quick access safes in your life. Quick access safes, the ability to access necessary tools like firearms quickly, but have safes in your life. Secure your firearms. It's not that hard. It's not that expensive. Drew and I both use the Gun Vault, the vertical ones. I don't know the model number on them, but they're the vertical open and shut vaults. They mount to the side of the nightstand, and then we use a Sentry underbed. Secure it under the bed electronic safe that we mount a long gun in. Easy day, man. It's so easy to keep your gun secured. You got a couple seconds to get in there. People are like, what if I need my gun faster in a couple seconds? Then you don't need a fucking gun.
Yeah, you're fucked.
You don't need a gun. You need to get better control of that situation. How have you let it digress to that point? Right? Like, if you need a gun, if you're in a situation where you're going to need a gun that fast, there's nothing between you and your opponent. It needs to be in your holster. It needs to be on your body. That's how you're going to have access to a gun faster. But when you go home and you raise the drawbridge and fill the moat full of alligators, there should be some levels of security and safety between you and opponents. So that gives you plenty of time to get access to your firearm, ear protection, all that kind of stuff. We've done shows about this in the past. Have quick access safes in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Easy to do. Ones I like, I've used for a long time, Gun Vaults. Securus, we just started using, but so far so good. I have used the Hornady Rapid Safes. I've used the Liberty Safe quick access safes, the Shot Locks, all of them very good tools. Redwire Gear Moment brought to you by RedwireGear.com. Our topic for the day, kind of a fun one.
Yeah.
Why you shouldn't kill yourself.
It seems to be a very good topic that a lot of people need to talk about.
And other helpful tips for life. Other helpful tips for a successful life. Look, I don't want this to sound like we're being facetious about suicide, which is a serious problem.
Mm-hmm.
It's incredibly serious. Drew and I both know people who've killed themselves. I've had to deal with that personally and professionally, of people taking their own lives. Sometimes people take their own lives intentionally. And sometimes they've taken their life through negligence.
Yeah.
Right? Their negligence. I wouldn't say it's accidental.
Well.
And like, hey, I'm just going to keep taking all these drugs and I guess I'll just be okay. Like, it's just through their own negligence.
Don't smoke fentanyl.
Look, here's the thing, man. Everybody out there, I think every single person on the planet at some point in time has considered at some level ending it. I'm not saying putting a pistol in their mouth. Maybe it hasn't gone that far. But everybody has considered it. Maybe just, I don't want to kill myself, but I just don't really want to be alive anymore, right?
Mm-hmm.
How many more fucking days are there, really, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And some people feel that way. My take on that for everybody is don't kill yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You have value. You have value. And that's what we're going to be talking about today, is how to increase some of that value in your life. Now, where does this come from? I'm not a fucking psychiatrist, all right, at all. Neither's Drew. We've been through some counseling, which I have no problem admitting to people. But I'll tell you, that's not what this show's about. What this is about is helping people, hopefully, to find some better value in themselves, or how to build value in themselves. Because one of the number one things we get asked about in training is, how do I be more valuable to my tribe, my family, my people, my friends group? How do I build better value? And people are very hard on themselves. And when it comes to that, I'll tell you a great piece of advice I was told many years ago by someone I respect. And he got it from someone he respected. Never say anything to yourself that you're not willing to say to somebody you deeply respect. Never say anything to yourself that you wouldn't say to somebody that you deeply respect. The self-talk's got to be positive. This comes from, you know, a place of knowing what negative self-talk feels like. I spent years with negative self-talk. Everybody does. Nobody doesn't. You meet that person who's like, hey, yo, bro, I'm the happiest guy. That guy's the fucking worst at negative self-talk. That's typically why they're so outwardly positive, because they're trying to correct that behavior or compensate for it. Not a bad thing, just a way. Positive self-talk is a real thing. Whether you use some kind of meditation rope for that, whether you sit down and no shit meditate, whether you pray and you use religion as a balance for that, whether you find that inspiration through people around you or whatever, man, positive self-talk is important. It is important. You know? Anyways, I asked – I'll tell you a funny story about positive self-talk. My very good friend, one of our instructors at Independence Training, who is just an amazing instructor and a hell of a good dude. I mean, one of the handful of guys I would literally trust anything with, anything. He could ask me for anything and I would trust him. Josh, who some of you guys have probably met. One of the most cynical dudes on our team. We were talking about positive self-talk, you know, and Josh and mine's personality are very different. If you were to say opposites attract, you know, as far as friendship is concerned, Josh and I are definitely that opposites. I'm very loud and outspoken and I talk a lot, and Josh is very quiet and inwardly and doesn't talk much, and he's a great guy. And we were talking about positive self-talk just a couple weeks ago at training. And I said, well, come on, man. He's a former special operations guy. And I said, come on, man. Like, you've been through selection processes. You didn't have any positive self-talk, man. You weren't, like, positively self-talking. You're like, hey, man, I can fucking do this. You know, like, you've been through it. And he was like, no, man. I go, well, then how did you get through it? And he was like, I just kept reminding myself, they're not allowed to kill me. And I was like, dude, that is the most Josh thing. They're not allowed to kill me. I just knew all the things we had to do. Well, they're not allowed to kill me, so it's not going to kill me. So I may have to do it, and it may have to suck, but they're not allowed to kill me. No, actually, let me phrase that. He didn't say they're not allowed to kill me. He said, they're going to get in a lot of trouble if they kill me. That's what he said. They're going to get in a lot of trouble if they kill me. He wasn't even, they're not allowed to kill me. It's, they're going to get in a lot of trouble if they kill me. Which I guess is positive self-talk to an extent. So good on you, Josh. I know he listens to the show sometimes. So if you're listening, buddy, thanks for that reminder. But just remember, like, you have value. This is a problem we continue to find as men get emasculated in this world, as parenting falls apart, as families fall apart. We can't ignore the societal issues that we're having. So talk to people about your shit, man. Talk to people about your stuff. Don't keep it inside. It's the best way to never solve it and to let it fester and to let it get worse. You got to talk to people about what you got going on in your life.
Yeah.
If that's feelings of inefficiencies, inadequacies, whatever, it's like people who come to training. They're some of the most brave people that I know. And I'm not talking about military or law enforcement people who are paid to go to training and forced to go to training. I'm talking about people who at some point had a realization of, I need to get better. And then they put the money down and they set aside the time aside and they went out there and they went in front of people and they were willing to talk about their shit. In front of 20 people, in front of 10 people, whatever. They're willing to say, I'm not confident in how I shoot my handgun. I don't really know anything about medicine. You know, yeah, I'm a prior service Marine and I still don't shoot very well. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know anything about civilian self-defense. Those, to me, are some of the most brave people there are. That's why I love my job. This weekend, people walking into a shoot house going, I don't know anything about this. Yeah, I keep a gun for home defense. I've kept a gun for home defense for 20 years, and I literally don't know anything about it. And I'm here, and I'm open. Teach me. Those are some of the most brave people. And the people who are willing to, quote unquote, talk about their shit. Talk about your shit.
Yeah.
Tell your friends. Again, this is all coming from personal experience. Well, Drew and I have had those opportunities to not talk about our stuff to anybody, especially people that were trying to love us. And we were like, nah, I'm just going to keep it all inside. And then, like, I always used to joke with people, and I still kind of joke with people. And it really is. I always say, oh, you know, my Stilson family is a motto. What it is you take all the things that are bothering you, you stuff them down deep inside, and then one day you die. You know, like, and then you have to talk about anything to anybody ever. It's perfect. It's a perfect win-win situation. No one has to listen to your shit, and you don't have to talk about your shit. And I came from that era, and I came from parents who came from the era of, it's called your business because it's your business. You don't talk about your business with anybody else. Yeah. This is no, you know, before social media. This is before I lived in small towns with not a lot of people. I mean, you know, tiny little areas, counties, rural settings, farmland, ranchland. That's just, you just didn't talk to people about your stuff at all. You know, I didn't grow up talking to people about my problems. And it's been a recent thing for me. Like, what, maybe 5 years, 4 years?
Yeah.
I mean, Drew and I still struggle within our relationships. Like, what's wrong? Nothing. Something's wrong. Eh, I'll work it out.
Wasn't that just like, I don't know, yesterday? Like
4 days ago, probably. Yeah. Like, I know I'm like pot talking to kettle right now, but that's my point, right? These hard lessons that we learn that for some reason we don't want to undo. And it's hard, man. It's hard to change that way of thinking. Invest in yourself.
Yeah, you got to love yourself.
You got to love yourself, and you got to invest in yourself. It's great that you spend so much time taking care of other people. It's great that you spend so much time wanting to be around other people. It's great that you spend so much time making sure everybody else is taken care of. If you're an empath, which I can – not jokingly, I can empathize with being an empath. It's great that you always want to take care of other people. You will wear yourself into the ground trying – to always take care of other people if you don't invest in yourself. Invest in yourself. That college class you've been wanting to go take, go fucking take it. Don't put it off another semester. Don't think about it anymore, Drew. Go down and take the damn college class. Just sign up. Go down and do it. Go down and enroll in that program you've been wanting to enroll in. Ask for that promotion you've been wanting to ask for. Change your job. Change your relationship. Invest in yourself. And the people around you don't want you to invest in yourself. If the people around you want to hold you down, that is a problem. I'll tell you why I hang out with people like Josh or Jason or Ben or Mitch, Brandon, Matt, John, Mason even, Drew. Why do I hang out with these people? Dave and Chris and Adele, my buddies Shazda. Why do I want to be around these people? Brad, Cecil, Craig. Why? I'm fucking specific on why. Because whatever they may think about themselves, they are better than me. In some way, shape, or form, sometimes multiple ways, they're better than me. I can recognize, and it's not a threat to me. I want to be around people that are better than me. The quote is something along the lines of, you know, if you look around the room and you're the smartest person in the room, you're in the wrong room. Mm-hmm. I tell our kids, Look at the people you surround yourself with. Look at the top five people you surround yourself with. Look at who they are. What effect do they have on their tribe? What effect do they have on their community? What kind of families do they come from? What kind of education have they pursued? What kind of jobs do they have? What do they do with their free time? Who are they? What do they want out of life? Look around at the people that you surround yourself with. Are you surrounding yourself with these people because you're a narcissist prick and you want to be the best one in the group? Because that's bullshit and you're never going to get any better. That is not investing in yourself. Do you look around your group and go, damn, this guy's better at this. This guy's better at that.
Mm-hmm.
This lady is better than this, than me at this. I want to be better. So the more I surround myself with people that are better than me, the better I'll become, as long as I'm investing in myself.
Yeah.
I have to take that information. I got to act on it. I got to do something with it. You know, Josh made me a better competitor because competing against him is tough. And Jay made me a better dad because watching him be a dad is inspiring.
Mm-hmm.
Adele made me a better medic. He made me question exactly why I was doing some of the things I was doing. You know, Matt's made me a better businessman because he makes me recognize my own shortcomings in promoting myself. Mm-hmm. He has no problem doing that. He loves self-promotion. He's all about it. I'm terrible at it. He's great at it. Why wouldn't I want to see that? Drew is way better at keeping her cool. I can look at that as an example and say, how do I get better like those people? Every single one of my friends is better. I'm never going to be a internationally renowned black belt in jiu-jitsu like Cecil is. I don't have the experience and the time on the mat, and I don't want to dedicate the time on the mat that he does. But so being around him, working with him, teaching with him, he makes me constantly want to be better. And yeah, every time he's beat my ass around or thrown me around or whatever, I haven't been like, oh, cool, now that you've done that, I'm better like you. Or, gee, look at that, now I know more. No, I necessarily don't. Sometimes I have to get hit three or four times to understand what the fucking problem is. But he just makes me want to be better at that concept. And now that you want to be better, now you got to do something about it.
Mm-hmm.
John Pinnock's out there, you know, not on the show right now because he's super busy with his army thing.
Or is he? I think he's dead somewhere.
I think he's just playing Call of Duty. But he's out there. You know, we got this ruck challenge going on. And he's rucking hard.
Mm-hmm.
He's rucking hard. And he's working hard to get it done. That's inspiring to me. This morning, I was supposed to get up early morning and go ruck. We had a late night. We didn't get to bed till actually early this morning. And I'm like, oh, man, I don't want to get up and ruck. You know, I freaking pull up my phone when I was getting out of bed and look at my message. There's John rocking, son of a bitch.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
I'm glad for my friend that he's out there doing that. It also goes, man, I got to be better. I got to rise to that occasion because he's probably tired too, man.
We got to go to bed earlier.
Yeah. 2 a.m. is not a good way to go to bed.
No.
So once you learn how to invest in yourself, surround yourself with the right people, you'll build your tribe, and then you start investing in your tribe. Because if you found the right tribe, they're hanging out with you because you're better than them in some way.
Mm-hmm.
And they want that from you. And now you're working on each other. Now you're building each other. Now you're getting stronger as a group. If you can't trust them, your tribe, with the things that are weighing on your mind, then they're not your people. If they can't be trusted, why are you with them?
Mm-hmm.
You're forced to be with them, or is it family? You're still living at home with your parents or something, like you can't get away from your siblings or what it may be. I don't know. But look at the people that you're spending the most time around. Would you want your children to grow up and be these people? Would you be okay if your kids turned into these people? Would you be okay with it? Look at your friends. Look at the people you spend time around. Would you be okay if your kids became these people? If 20 or 30 years from now, your kids were these people, would you be like, yeah, my kids turned out well? Or would you be like, oh, shit, I fucked up? Well, how would you be? I would be okay if any of our kids turned into any of our friends.
Yeah.
Have some of our friends made life choices I wouldn't have made? Yep. I've made life choices they wouldn't have made. I'd still be okay if any of my kids turned into any of my friends.
Mm-hmm.
Be totally okay with it. Get a hobby. Get a hobby that, again, inspires you to be better, do more. Get a hobby that's going to challenge you. I don't care if it's putting together little plastic models, which I did for a long time when I was a kid. I used to build a shitload of models, mostly airplanes, built a shitload of airplanes. Every now and then I'd do like a monster truck or a tank, but that wasn't really what I really wanted to do. And it's not like I'm super obsessed with airplanes. I just enjoyed putting airplane models together. Lots of little glue, not too much, paint, decals, little men, got to paint, put them in the cockpit. Like, it was a lot, man. I probably had a dozen or so hanging from my roof with fishing line. Awesome. Challenging hobby. I've actually thought about taking it back up just because of how intense it is, detail-oriented it is. And it is kind of fun at the end to have this thing that you built.
Mm-hmm.
Find a hobby that's going to challenge you. I don't care what it is. Hunting, maybe that's new to you. Go start figuring out how to track an animal to its bed. Even if you don't want to kill it, go out hunting. Remember, there's a difference between hunting and killing. Hunting doesn't always involve killing. Go out hunting. Find animals. Track them. Sneak up on them. How close can you get? If you wanted to, could you? Kill them. Eat them. Watch the world around you. It's hot as fuck here right now.
It is.
The humidity sucks.
Out of control.
So we have 100, 100 degree temps with like fucking 60% humidity or some bullshit. It is nasty here right now. Nasty to be outside.
That's because we've had a lot of rain lately
from the monsoons. And overcast days.
Yeah, we've had a lot of monsoon storms, which we're going to have them all next week too.
And yet, the sunsets are still beautiful.
Absolutely.
The sunrises are still beautiful. It's still worth going out, breathing some fresh air. I still take the dog to the park.
Yeah.
We're still running. We're still rucking. It's still worth getting out there because it's something that you can enjoy. Is it going to be a little uncomfortable? Yeah, nature's typically uncomfortable to be in.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of people are like, oh, I really love to hike, but not in the winter, not in the summer. Also, mm-hmm. The spring, I have allergies. In the fall, it's what it's like. So basically, you don't fucking go outside.
Yeah.
You have an idea. You want to be the person who goes outside, but you fucking don't because it might be a little uncomfortable. You might sweat or your back might hurt a little.
But if you have allergies, it's a quick, easy fix. Take allergy pills. You know, Claritin's out there for a reason.
There's ways around everything.
Yeah. It's just you giving excuses to yourself and then not going and doing the thing.
Get a pet.
get a Czech Shepherd. Better yet.
Don't get a Czech Shepherd. Start with a gerbil. Start with something you can put in a cage and shut the door. No, seriously, though, get a pet. If you don't have a pet and you have the time and you have the open responsibility, consider getting something. Maybe it's a snake. We've gotten some snakes recently. Tons of fun.
Yeah.
Easy. Oh, my God, easy to take care of.
Mm-hmm.
And tons of fun to have around.
They are pretty cool.
Easy to take care of.
Very
and then easy. We have Zero, of course, which is a whole other fucking situation. But have a life that loves you.
Yeah.
And the snakes don't have the cognitive ability to love us. They're just like, whatever.
But Zero
a
loves
dog
you.
Has a... We were – I had an observation last night. You know, we were talking to one of the daughters about some things that she'd been doing wrong and trying to correct behavior. And we were upstairs. Z was downstairs.
Yeah, he was.
And he heard things not even getting elevated but just that the tone had changed. The energy had changed. And he left downstairs, came upstairs, and laid in front of her.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely put himself between Drew and I and her. And we weren't being aggressive.
Mm-mm. We were just...
But that's an animal that can love.
Yeah.
That's an animal that can feel. And at first she was kind of like, oh, get away from me. And I was like, hold on a second. He's protecting you.
And he's comforting you.
Let him protect you and comfort you.
Yeah.
And as soon as she relaxed and let it happen...
He just laid there.
He just chilled the whole time we talked.
Yeah.
And he was totally into it.
Mm-hmm.
And then she was more comforted and more chilled.
Mm-hmm.
That is an animal with cognitive reasoning.
Yeah.
Like that, having that in your life is incredible. There's this life that when we go home, no matter what's happened in the world to us that day, he's going to love us.
Yeah. Just like he did this morning when he jumped on bed and snuggled you.
Oh, my God. I'm such an asshole. No matter what, he's going to be there. Like, and that could be whatever pet you want to have that has that capability. It's nice to have that.
Don't get cats.
Well, cats are aliens anyways. Love your job or don't fucking keep going to it.
Yeah, I think that's one of the biggest depressors that most people have is the fact that they go to a dead-end job. Mm. They're not going to go anywhere. They're kind of doing the mundane thing where they go from, 9 to 5 and it's day in, day out, and they're miserable. And I think that leads to a lot of depression that people have is they can't stand their job. But like we know, people don't want to leave their jobs because they have stability. They have income that they are afraid to venture out and do other things.
If you're afraid of Mondays, for example, when people are like, oh, God, Monday, I'm like, dude, you have the wrong job.
Yeah.
You know, if Monday is a terrible thing for you, if that's just something you're just like, oh, my God, I do not want to do this Monday thing, then you're probably not at the right job.
Yeah.
So, again, really important to like what you do. I'm not saying you have to love every minute of your job. I don't love every minute of my job. I love my job, but I don't love every minute of it.
Yeah.
There's definitely days where I'm just like, oh, man, like I'm tired. This is a long day. I'm working hard, whatever. It happens. But there's so many different opportunities out there for you to do other things. Travel. Travel anywhere. Mm-hmm. People, when they think of travel, they're like, okay, let's go to Paris or something. And it's like, well, hold on a second. Look around in your area. Where haven't you been here?
Yeah. Look in your own backyard.
We could drive for 2 hours in either direction and end up someplace, some trail we haven't hiked, some place we haven't been, some museum we haven't visited, or maybe haven't visited in a long time.
Yeah.
Like we have the capability to go see new things right here.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Go camping. Go glamping. Go hoteling.
Yeah.
Find places in your area that you haven't been. Where can I travel? Pretty inexpensive, especially if you're on a budget. Just get away from your normal routine and go travel a little bit. Just see something different.
Mm-hmm.
Just see something different. See something from a different perspective. Get away from people. Or go get around people if you're already away from people. Go to a big city. If you're in a big city, go to the country.
Mm-hmm.
If you have the means to travel further, travel further. And in that vein, cancel plans sometimes and stay home.
That's always really nice too.
Super satisfying sometimes. We're just like, you know what? I want to go out.
Yeah, we leave such a busy lifestyle. For us, that's one of the little joys that we get to do every now and then. It's just like, you know what? We're not doing anything today.
I'm just doing nada.
Yeah.
Right? We're going to hang out. I mean, we always end up doing something. But
yeah.
I'm not the kind, I can't just lay around. I'm going to do something, even if I end up organizing gear or managing equipment or something. Like, I'll always be doing something. But there's not a requirement to be somewhere at a certain time with certain people.
Yeah.
Just chill sometimes. If you're not reading a book right now, find one to read. I could recommend 100,000 different ones. But if you're not reading a book right now, find a book to read and read it. I don't care how long it is.
Start with The Way of Men.
That's a good one to start with.
Yeah. It's a very short read.
But read some books.
Mm-hmm.
Like we used to when we were kids.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Consider how you're meditating or how you're not meditating, and consider looking into professional guidance for a proper meditative state. So you can focus mentally. And everyone's got a different way of doing that. I know people who do it when they drive. You don't have to sit somewhere, legs crossed. You don't have to do that shit. Just, I know people who do it. I grew up learning how to do it from my dad, who used to do it on the side of a mountain. We'd just go sit somewhere, and he'd sit just staring at the fucking distance for 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me, hey, boy, just be quiet. Be still. And for 30 minutes, we'd just sit there. And as I was a kid, I was just like, I have no idea why the fuck we're doing this. I'm going to go run around.
Yeah.
And as I became older, I was kind of like, I get it.
Yeah.
This is meditation. This is my dad's way of meditation. No one's asking him to do anything. He doesn't have any responsibilities. He can just clear his mind, slow everything down, relax, and process some information.
Mm-hmm.
Some people do it when they run. Some people do it when they're working out. Some people do it. I don't care. Just do it.
I get mine from is running.
Work out your physical body.
Yes.
Take care of the machine that you've got.
Yes.
It's important. We preach it all the time in our training and on this show. If you're not listening, I don't know what the fuck to tell you. Take care of yourself. It's the only thing you got. You're going to have you your whole life, whether that's another day or another decade or another 50 years or more.
Yep.
Take care of your body. Quit putting poison into it all the time. Quit not exercising it. Quit abusing it. Some people, I treat my life like an amusement park. Yeah, I know it's funny, and it's funny to say, and we all.
I have never heard that.
You've never heard that?
Mm-mm.
Half of our fucking instructors say that.
I don't listen to them hardly ever.
It's funny as a punchline to a joke, but half the guys that say that are currently, all of our guys that say that, are currently engaged in strenuous physical exercise workout routines. You know what I mean?
Unless you're Mitch, who's a fat kid who just eats fat and does steroids.
Unless you're Mitch, who's our GQ looking fucking model who just eats candy.
All the fucking time.
But work out. Work your physical body out. And as long as you're working out your body, work out your soul a little bit and cleanse your grudges. Stop holding grudges, man. It's not worth it. The only person you're really hurting is you.
Yep.
Especially if the other person doesn't know or doesn't care. And even if you tell them, I fucking hate you, if you tell them that all the time, they still don't care. Because if they cared, they would try to do something to fix it.
Yeah.
If they're not trying to do something to fix it, then they don't give a shit. They don't give a shit. So cleanse the grudge. Why are you holding on to it? They're not. Why are you? Cleanse that spiritual grudge, man. Get rid of it. Forget all that silly bullshit that doesn't make you any better. Look at the way that you think, the way that you talk to people, the way that you process information. Is it making you better? If it's not, stop.
Yeah.
Just stop. There was this great video. I'm actually going to look it up real quick. And it was Bob Newhart. I think it was an SNL skit, if I remember. But you guys can look this up. Bob Newhart, God rest him, all right, if you look up Bob Newhart, N-E-W-H-A-R-T, stop it, right? Bob Newhart, stop it. And he plays this like psychiatrist. People come in and they tell him what their problems are, and he just goes, stop. Just stop it. Just stop. Well, it's not that simple. Yeah, it is. Just stop. There's some things you can just stop. So just stop. One of those things you can stop is withholding your love from the people that you love.
Yeah.
One of the worst possible things you can do is silent treatment, withholding your love, not telling someone that you love them, not letting the people in your life know that you care about them.
Just to be rude if you're mad.
Just because I'll teach them. I'm not going to tell them I love them.
Yeah.
I'm not going to tell them goodbye. I'm not going to give my spouse a goodbye kiss because she made me angry. Why would you do that?
Yeah.
That's horrible. Horrible, horrible behavior. Stop it. Don't do that. Don't withhold the love from the people that you love and that love you. Don't withhold love from them. Don't withhold affection. Don't withhold compliments.
Yeah, I mean, we have the rules that we have in our bedroom on our whiteboard to know, you know.
Rules for love.
Rules for love.
Mm-hmm. And that's one of them.
Yeah, it sure is, 100%. Even we have a rule that we don't go to bed mad.
Mm-hmm.
So we may not agree with some things, but it's not like you're going to be on one end of the bed and I'm all the way on the other end of the bed.
Nope. Never happens.
Because we like physical touch is one of our love languages. So we usually always have some part of our body touching the other person. So we make that a rule that even if
that's our expression.
aren't resolved, we know that we won't go, one's not going to go sleep on the couch or upstairs in one of the kids' rooms, or that's just not how we do things.
Nope. And we talked a little bit about this on the
yeah, we did.
The extra show for this month.
Yeah, we did. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's important to us. May not be as important to you, but that's important to us. Last thing, look, life is good. Even when life is tough, even when the world seems like it's caving in on you, and trust me, folks, I fucking know. When the world feels like it's caving in on you and you just can't seem to get ahead, you just can't seem to dig your way out of something. Every time you dig your way out of a hole, you actually realize you're just in a bigger fucking hole. Life is still good. You're still living it, and someone still cares about you. Guarantee. Life is still good. Don't kill yourself.
Yeah, that's the most awful thing you could possibly ever do. Because it not only obviously it affects you, but think of what it leaves behind if you do. Family with wondering why.
More pain.
Yep. So not only are you the one who's solely in pain, now it just spreads like a disease through your entire family, your friends, your tribe. Your tribe will all be affected.
It's just more pain.
Yep.
More suffering. So, next week.
Next week.
Next week, we are going to be talking with AJ from Overwatch Precision and our very own Mitch. We're going to have a rowdy roundtable in here. We're going to invite some other people, too. I don't know who yet. Probably one other person. We'll probably get five of us in here. But at least with the four of us, it'll be good. Rowdy roundtable, if you guys don't know what that is, essentially we're going to be dealing with kind of random
topics. It used to be people used to get to ask us whatever.
Sometimes we would do Q&A rowdy roundtables. Now we're just going right. And I think we're going to kind of sort of talk about like the state of the industry, and that'll lead into 100,000 things. And usually rowdy roundtables, a little bit of drinking too, so that's going to be a good time.
So probably two-hour show again.
Yeah. Remember to follow us on Facebook and Instagram as The Arms Room Show, Independence Training, Red Wire Gear, and MRC Phoenix, Drew's Running Club. Come out and run with us anytime. Wednesdays and Thursday nights we run, but the other members of the club also run other nights. So you can email us info@trainingaz.com to find out more about that. Also email us to find out more about hosting our training in your location. And if you're law enforcement, this Wednesday, July 21st, from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., we're going to have an open house at TAC Hub at 8337 North 7th Street in Phoenix, Arizona, just for law enforcement officers to come in, see the facility, run some scenarios, have some fun.
Yep.
Yeah. All law enforcement. Certified law enforcement only, federal, local, out of state, even out of country. I've had a couple foreign people actually hit me up and ask me if they could come. And, of course, the answer is yes, they can. All right. What else is there? Heroes Media Group.
Yeah. Did we do our IT moment?
No, I'll do that next. Heroes Media Group, don't forget to look at the other shows on the network and check out the other services that they provide. A lot of great media-related services and publishing-related services. Independence Training Moment is going to be this. Don't ever assume that your knowledge or your uniform or your rank equals a higher level of proficiency than your opponent.
Yep.
Assume they are better than you. And train accordingly. And never assume that any of those aforementioned things gave you any kind of superiority over anybody else if they don't have the same things. If you're in uniform, you're not superior to those who haven't ever worn one. If you have a such and such rank, you are not outside of the command structure superior to the people that you're in charge of. Independence Training Moment brought to you by independencetraining.com. Be humble. Learn from everybody. And always know that you can be getting better. Our own Ben likes to say, I don't have to be the best. I just have to get better.
Yeah.
I like the way he says that. Until next time, stay aware, stay safe, and train hard. You've been listening to The Arms Room.